In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel text for this day is a text about death. The daughter of the ruler is dead, and the woman whom our Lord encounters is also at death's door, with her flow of blood draining her life incurably. Both face the chief enemy of humanity, and know that chief enemy is not sin, nor is it the devil. Humanity's chief enemy is death itself. For death is the end of sin, and death is the devil's goal. Mankind was made by God to live forever with him. When the devil's temptation brought sin into the world, the result was death. That is, a division of body and soul, a separation from God. And so it is that the woman, the girl, and even the girl's father are staring down mankind's chief enemy as they stand at death's door. They stand in the place where we all must stand one day. Some of us have already stood in the shoes of the father, watching our loved ones approach and eventually fall into the clutches of death. Some of us have or are standing in the place of the woman, battling illnesses that lead us to death's door. But all of us will one day stand in the shoes of the little girl. We all must face this separation of our own body and soul unless our Lord in his mercy returns to make all things new first. Death comes for us all. But our Lord's healing of the woman with the flow of blood and his raising of the ruler's daughter grant us hope and consolation in the face of death. For Christ has power over death, and such power and benefit extend to all who believe that Jesus is Lord. But woe to those who look for healing and salvation apart from Christ, for he alone grants deliverance from death. Therefore, let us consider five consolations that Christ grants to us who believe in him in the face of death. The first consolation we have against death is Christ's triumph over death. In fact, this is the height and principal source of every consolation in the face of death. For the apostle has said, through death, Christ has destroyed him who had power over death, that is the devil, and has freed those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. And again, the apostle writes, Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Sin is the sting of death, and through sin, the devil has subjugated men to himself and made them susceptible to death. But since Christ has made satisfaction for our sins with his death, he thus took away the devil's strength and power over us. Christ destroyed our death with his death, and he rose from hell on the third day. Therefore, death is no longer fearsome for those of us who believe. It is as the prophet Hosea foretold, O death, I shall be your death, that is your plague and your poison. O hell, I shall be your bite, that is, I shall be your destruction. Just as poison taken internally takes one's life, so Christ's death slays our death by taking it into himself. Therefore, we Christians face our own death with renewed strength and hope. In the agony of death and in the terrors of conscience which accompany such death, we should turn our eyes away from looking at those sad images and threats which the devil has cast upon us. We should not consider the pain of death, nor the evils of sin, nor the requirements of the law, nor the punishment of hell. When we draw near to death's door, we should fix our eyes with firm gaze upon Christ, the one and only victor over death, the restorer of righteousness, the fulfiller of the law, and the destroyer of hell. Thus the hymn writer has said, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes." With the eyes of faith, we should look upon death, not in our own body, but in the resurrected Christ, the victor over death and the giver of life. We should look upon sin, not in our own conscience, but in Christ, the Lamb of God, who bears and takes away our sins as well as the sins of the whole world. We should look upon the law not as it is written in our own hearts and violated by our many sins, but we should look upon the law pierced through on the cross of Christ. We should look upon hell and the sufferings involved in eternal rejection not in ourselves, nor in the countless multitude of the damned, but in Christ, who bears and overcomes this anguish on our behalf when he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ is the victor over death. He lifts up the trophy for each of us and cries out, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and hell." That is to say, it is mine to have dominion over death and hell. I have overcome death. I have destroyed hell. Therefore, I am Lord of death and hell, so that I am able to free anyone from both, because the keys of the gates of the city are given to the victor. To this victor over death, we should flee in true faith. And death will be unable to hold power over us anymore. Thus, our chief consolation against death is that Christ Jesus, our Lord, has triumphed over it. The second consolation against death is that God has ordained a predetermined limit for each man's life. In Romans 14, the apostle writes, "None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." It is God who determines each man's days, according to Psalm 139. It is God who appoints the number of his months, according to Job 14. Therefore, when we die, it is by no means an accident. It is by the will of the Father who calls us through death to himself. He has appointed a definite limit of life for each man. When we realize that our time is near, we are quick to obey God as he calls, just as St. Paul preached in Pisidian Antioch in the book of Acts, saying, "After David had served the will of God in his own generation, he fell asleep." Which is to say that after David finished the things that God had appointed him to do in this world, he died calmly and peacefully. Similarly, the apostle writes in his second letter to Timothy, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight like an energetic athlete or wrestler. I have finished the race like a strenuous runner or sprinter. I have kept the faith like a good soldier and a committed general." Now that the appointed contest course and military service is finished, I wait for my crown. So it is that God ordains man's days. And this is a consolation for us against death. The third consolation against death is the promise of God's gracious presence and help at the moment of death. Out of his grace and compassion, God has promised to those who believe in Christ not only that he will be present with them in the calamities of this life, but also that in the very midst of death, he wishes to lift them up with his grace and help. He desires to preserve and sustain them so that they might overcome all the sufferings and pains of death and that they might be brought to a new life. Thus King David has so famously written, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, my light and my life, you are with me." Again, in Psalm 91, the Lord promises, "I am with him in trouble. I shall rescue and glorify him. With length of days, I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation." The Lord will not leave his people alone in death. Thus, we come to the fourth consolation, which is most directly related to our gospel text for this day, namely that Christ has changed death into sleep for his people. Death is bitter and fearful because it has attached to it divine wrath and the curse of the law. Thus the ruler seeks out our Lord to plead with him on behalf of his daughter, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." For it is Christ alone who is able to reverse the course and the curse of death. He alone can remove the bitter divine wrath which death brings upon those who fall into its clutches. Christ's touch raises the dead, for he has taken death's divine wrath upon himself. Thus, those who are touched by him are freed from the law's curse. Therefore, temporal death is no longer true death for the godly, for Christ has turned it into a sweet sleep and our entrance into true life. Therefore, Christ says to the ruler's daughter, "The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And so it is that the sweet sleep of death becomes for us a translation from the hardships and miseries of this life into rest. In this life, there is no respite from hardship and suffering. But in death, the pain of calamities which we have been weaving for ourselves every day of our lives is finally cut off. Thus, St. John reminds us of this consolation in Revelation 14, saying, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Death is the burial of all sins and evils. Luther writes of its similarity to a child who is brought with great hardship out of his mother's womb into this world. In the same way, one moves through the portal of death from this wretched life into eternal life. For Christ has changed our chief enemy, death, into a portal to everlasting life. The fifth and final consolation we have against death is the resurrection of our bodies to life and glory. In this life, we carry around a mortal and corruptible body, which is susceptible to illnesses. But in the life to come, God removes our torn and worn out cloak from us. And in its place, he restores to us the garment of a glorified body. How could we refuse to take off that little cloak of a body in death when our Lord summons us? Job directs us to this comfort. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last day he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Christ offers this same consolation, saying, "Because I live, you also will live. And the apostle has written, if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. These are our consolations and comforts in the face of death. Christ has triumphed over death. When we, like the ruler, see our loved ones standing at death's door, we find comfort in knowing that God has predetermined the limit of each man's life. When we, like the woman with the flow of blood, suffer from illnesses and pains in this life, we recall God's gracious presence, which will not depart from us even in the moment of death. When we, like the girl, face death ourselves, we trust that death is but sleep for God's people. For death is not the end. As we read in today's epistle, Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, namely the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, we have confidence in the face of death, knowing that the resurrection of the body to life and glory awaits those who have been touched by the one who is the resurrection and the life. To him be glory and dominion both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.